Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 61 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
You can't tell me that we couldn't extract the needed chemicals, the needed medical value from the marijuana.
The Rowan County Sheriff is speaking out against the possible legalization of medicinal marijuana.
Authorities have released the name of a man who died during a police standoff in Johnson County.
An abortion bill is under debate in Frankfort.
Governor Bevin is auctioning off the chance to blow up a building.
Moorhead State's president is hopeful after seeing the Kentucky House proposed budget.
In sports, Boyd County faces Ashland Blazer tonight in the boys' 16th regional championship.
But Luke has the stock report.
There's an elevated risk of wildfires in Rowan County this afternoon. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Authorities have released the name of a man who died after a standoff ended in gunfire in Johnson County last night. The sheriff's office says the subject has been identified as Stephen Dalton of Oil Springs. Sheriff's deputies were responding to reports of suspicious activity at a home on State Route 845 Monday evening. They found Dalton walking around holding a Bible and looking up at the sky. Dalton allegedly fought with police before going back into his house. That's when officers heard several gunshots and called for backup. Kentucky State Troopers arrived on the scene and a shootout ensued. Officers were eventually able to enter the home where they found Dalton dead. It's unclear if he died in the shootout or from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
The superintendent of Ashland's Fairview Independent School District has been removed from office. The Daily Independent reports Michael Taylor was placed on suspension with pay last night. The reason for Taylor's suspension was not given. Board members say Taylor will retire at the end of June. The board named Phil Eason the interim superintendent of the district.
Family members of a slain Lexington 6-year-old have testified in the murder trial of an Indiana dialysis nurse accused of stabbing the child to death. 13-year-old Coral Tipton testified Monday that she awoke on December 7th in 2015 and saw Ronald Exontis standing above her little brother, Logan Tipton, with a butcher knife in one hand and a butter knife in the other. Logan's father, Dean Tipton, testified he didn't know Exontis before the attack, quelling theories the attack was a disagreement gone wrong. Defense attorneys Josh Miller and Bridget Hoffler say a mental illness caused Exontis' attack, but prosecutors say he voluntarily took synthetic drugs that triggered his psychosis. A psychiatrist and toxicologist are set to testify this week. Exontis could be sentenced to death if convicted.
Rowan County's chief deputy sheriff says there's no way he'll support either bill before the state legislature that legalizes medical marijuana in its current form. According to Joe Klein, while he's okay with cannabis being used for medical reasons in oil or pill form, he won't back either measure because they permit it to be smoked. Klein says in states that brag about the creation of new revenue because of the legalization of marijuana, whether for recreational or medical purposes, the situation is not as rosy as they portray.
They're showing those cardboard checks and, you know, so many millions of dollars being brought in. But they're showing you one side, but they're not showing you the backside. That we, in training with other law enforcement officers that are from these states, are saying, listen, it's caused us a whole lot of problems, a whole lot of issues. It's caused work-related injuries. It's caused more traffic collisions.
Klein says the THC content of today's marijuana, the hallucinogenic ingredient in pot, is about 10 times higher than it was in the 1960s and 70s.
Supporters of legalizing medical marijuana in Kentucky have promoted its potential as an alternative to opioid painkillers in making their case to a legislative committee. The House Judiciary Committee heard testimony Monday but took no action on a bill that would strictly regulate the introduction of medicinal marijuana. Democratic Representative John Sims says Kentucky's lack of a medical marijuana law has created a, quote, medical refugee crisis. He says Kentuckians are uprooted to seek the treatment in states where medical cannabis is legal. Sims says legalizing medical cannabis would combat Kentucky's deadly addiction woes from opioid painkillers. The bill would strictly regulate and license the use of medical cannabis. Committee Chair Joe Fisher says the panel will take up the bill again at a later time. We'll have your regional headlines right after this.
Support from SPR comes from Emporium Presents, featuring Tyler Childers in concert at Ashland's Paramount Arts Center on Saturday, June 23rd. Southern storyteller, singer-songwriter Tyler Childers is coming home to Eastern Kentucky in support of his debut album, Purgatory. Tickets on sale Friday morning at 10 at the Paramount Arts Center box office and online at ParamountArtsCenter.com. Tyler Childers in concert at the Paramount Arts Center in Ashland, Saturday, June 23rd. Tickets on sale Friday morning at 10. More information at ParamountArtsCenter.com.
An abortion bill is under debate in Frankfurt. The House Judiciary Committee is considering a measure that would ban an abortion after 11 weeks if it results in the bodily dismemberment of the unborn child. Republican Representative Adia Wüschner sponsors the bill. She says it's not a total ban on abortion, but a prohibition of a procedure that is gruesome, brutal, and not necessary.
It is an indisputable fact that at the end of 10 weeks, the unborn child can be seen on ultrasound to have fingers, hands, arms, toes, feet, eyelids, and ears.
The ACLU says the bill would ban the most common second trimester abortion procedure in Kentucky. The committee plans to vote on the bill today.
Kentucky ophthalmologists are expressing concern over House Bill 191. Opponents say the bill could curb advancements in eye care technology and require a physician's presence for some screenings that could be done with a house call. President of the Kentucky Society of Eye Physicians and Surgeons, Dr. Frank Burns, says the bill is regressive.
The problem with this bill is it will limit the evaluation of eye disease through some innovative technology.
The bill must pass the Senate committee before it heads to the full House for consideration.
Kentucky's Education Commissioner pushes back against some tough love from Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. Haley Hansen has the story.
Talking to the top education officials from about 30 states, Secretary DeVos slammed some of them for not taking enough interest in their students. She said, quote, "What are you going to do to rethink education in your state?" Kentucky Education Commissioner Stephen Pruitt pushed back, saying DeVos has been inconsistent in how she grades states' education plans. Pruitt says she rejected one proposal from his plan, but approved that same plan in Georgia. I'm Haley Hansen.
Governor Matt Bevin is giving Kentuckians a chance to blow up a building. He announced an online auction to push the ceremonial plunger to implode the Capitol Plaza Tower today. Bevin says the auction benefits a charity.
The We Are Kentucky Foundation is a nonprofit foundation that is headed by my wife, focused on how we take care of vulnerable families and children here in Kentucky.
The 28-story tower is the tallest building in Frankfurt and will be demolished this Sunday.
Morehead State University's president is keeping his fingers crossed that much of the Kentucky House's state budget proposal remains intact when the two-year spending plan is finalized. With the help of suggested tax hikes on prescription opioids and cigarettes, the House plan restores most cuts to public education. It also voids the Senate's proposed 6.25% reductions to the appropriations given to the Commonwealth's universities and colleges. According to Dr. J. Morgan, that's good news, but MSU still needs to be ready for every possible scenario involving the state budget.
I think at this point, until we have a known budget from Frankfurt, we have to continue along the path that we've been on in trying to become more efficient as a campus, more efficient as a workforce, make sure we keep our eye on student success, and continue to recruit.
The final version of Kentucky's new biennial budget will be released in mid-April.
Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis isn't certain how the release of her new book will affect her bid for re-election. Davis's book, Under God's Authority, The Kim Davis Story, details the 2015 federal court fight that took place after she decided to stop issuing marriage licenses in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to legalize same-sex marriage. The situation sparked a national controversy. She says it wasn't by design that her book is coming out as she hits the campaign trail.
You know, the timing, I had nothing to do with the timing, really. I mean, I've been writing the book for a long time, and you know, I don't know if it'll affect anything or not. I just, you know, we'll just have to wait and see.
Davis is the lone Republican running for the clerk's job. Four Democrats will compete in the May primary to challenge her in November. That list includes David Ermold, who was denied a license by Davis to marry his partner in 2015.
The Powell County Search and Rescue Team is reminding hikers to make sure they're properly equipped before visiting Kentucky's many trail systems. One of the most important items a hiker can have is a rescue whistle. Lisa Johnson is with the Powell County Search and Rescue Team. She tells WKYT her team was able to quickly locate a trio of stranded hikers this past weekend because they were carrying whistles.
When they blew the whistles right away, the girls blew their whistles back because we could ID them right away where they were at. That saved us probably a good hour, 2 hours.
Johnson says it's also important for hikers to carry a map and compass on them. The Skylift gift shop at Natural Bridge State Park sells rescue whistles. The proceeds help fund the search and rescue team.
Morehead State University's Claypool Young Art Building will be the site of the Kentucky Burley Cole Region High School Exhibition and Competition March 7th through the 14th. The annual show is organized in partnership with the Kentucky Art Education Association and features high school artwork from the region. Gallery director Jennifer Rise says it features artwork from high schools all around eastern Kentucky.
It's a competition because there are different categories of work. So there's a category for painting, for mixed media, for fashion design. And the first place winners of each of those categories, along with a best in show for two-dimensional work and a best in show for three-dimensional work, go to the Kentucky All-State Show that is up in northern Kentucky later on this spring.
Rice says the gallery received a lot of entries for painting and drawing this year. They also have several other categories on display.
This summer could be a hot one for the residents of Augusta. WMKY's Kenzie Thompson reports.
Due to the lack of resources and time, the city-owned pool will most likely not be opened this summer. According to the Ledger Independent, the pool needs repairs, which could cost the city around $235,000. Augusta Mayor Wendell High says the city does not have those funds right now. Some of the damage to the pool includes cracks, leaks, and the need for a new filtration system. Last year, the pool shut down on July 30th because of the issues. High says the city is currently looking at different funding options and hopes to start repairs later this year and reopen the pool next summer. The money that would typically be used to operate and maintain the pool will now go toward rebuilding the docks of the river park that were destroyed during the late July floods last year. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Taking a look at this week's extended weather forecast, tonight it's partly cloudy, turning into a mix of rain and snow with a low of 34 degrees. Tomorrow morning, it'll be cloudy and some morning snow showers and a high of 42. Tomorrow night, the clouds will stay around and some late flurries are possible, a low of 26 degrees. Thursday morning, it's a mix of clouds and sun and more clouds coming in the afternoon with a high of 37. Thursday night, the clouds give way to clear skies and a 0% chance of rain with a low of 25 degrees. Current temperatures are 58 degrees in Flemingsburg, 63 degrees in Ashland, 60 degrees in Lexington, 60 degrees in Winchester, 59 degrees in Inez, and 61 degrees in Moorhead.
On our feature segment today, an innovative program designed by two Greenup County teachers is aiming to help kids with incarcerated parents. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
School can be difficult enough as is, but the burden of having parents in jail or prison can add even more stress onto the student. That's why Russell McDowell Intermediate teachers Christy Whitaker and Jelena Wheeler have started Kids Rising Up Through Support and Healing, or CRUSH, to help these students in their time of need. CRUSH was started in the beginning of the 2017 school year and already has more than 20 students involved in the program. According to Whitaker, CRUSH is more than just sitting down with students and having a chat.
We do a whole lot of different things. Most of the time we go in and just kind of check in with them. If they've had issues that have come up throughout the week they want to share, they can do that. We have different worksheets that we do with them to address things that might be going on in their minds just with having the parents incarcerated. We have a worry jar that we use to give those kids a chance to write down things that might be on their mind that they want to put on paper and put in the jar and try to set aside, things like that.
Wheeler says one of their biggest goals is to ensure students in the program that they don't have to follow the same path as their parents. This helps plant hope into kids who otherwise may not have motivation for their future.
A lot of the students were really withdrawn and down in general at first. And then now we have students, I think, that feel like they have somebody that they can relate to. They have a group that they see every, you know, week of other kids like them. And they also have us as their support, and they see that we're not judging them.
But CRUSH isn't about making the kids dislike their parents. In fact, it's the opposite, and helps to strengthen the bond and close emotional gaps between parent and child.
Some of these students are feeling more comfortable visiting their parents, which was a big issue. A lot of them had a lot of anger and hurt feelings towards their parents and felt kind of like they just didn't love them anymore. And one of the things they're working on, a lot of them, is going to visit their parents sometimes with their guardians now. And you can tell that's making a big difference in their lives.
Students in CRUSH meet every Friday morning before class starts. Russell McDowell Intermediate is currently the only school that houses the program. But Whitaker has big plans to expand CRUSH into other school districts.
We are really trying to get a curriculum written right now with the help of our school district's curriculum director. We kind of have a template that we're working on, and once we get that done, we plan on taking the program to other districts in the community here and anywhere that's interested in it. We really have pretty high goals of getting it out there across the state and hopefully even across the country.
One of the reasons CRUSH is so successful is because of the broad range of benefits that students involved receive. Along with helping students ease their minds, CRUSH has also guided them to having better in-school performance.
We have noticed a big increase in grades. We've noticed attendance is better for a lot of these kids. A lot of them have behavior problems, too, that kind of come out, and that's something that's decreasing.
Whitaker never imagined that the program would be so successful and supported by the community. But she is happy things turned out the way they did.
I think it's above and beyond what I ever had hoped for it to come out to be. Initially, the thoughts were, you know, we want to start a little group for our school, and it's just blown up into a district-wide, community-wide support for what we're doing. And I think that right now, the opportunities are endless for us to continue to bring this program to everybody else that would need it, other districts and other states. And I'm just beyond excited about where it stands right now.
With a lack of similar programs existing, CRUSH may very well be making its way into schools across the nation. For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
It's 4:47 and 60 degrees on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're so glad you've joined us on this Tuesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Morehead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Championship game action. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The 16th Region Boys Basketball Champion will be decided tonight at 7 as Boyd County squares off with Ashland Blazer. Boyd coach Randy Anderson's 28-6 Lions will be missing two starters, point guard Blake Stewart, who's sick, and forward Reese Robinson, who injured his shoulder in last night's semifinal win over Round County.
Next guy up, you know. I mean, those guys have been in practice with us all year and kind of waiting their turn. Step up. It's time to play.
Blazer coach Jeremy Howe, meanwhile, won't discount rival Boyd just because of those key injuries.
They're going to play. They're going to give it their all. That's what they do. It's 32 minutes away, and that's everybody's goal is to win the region championship.
Ashland and Boyd have already met four times this season. The Tomcats won the first two games, with the Lions taking the last two, including the 64th District Championship. The girls' Sweet 16 basketball tournament will include a couple of area teams when it starts tomorrow at Northern Kentucky University. 15th Region champion Johnson Central opens the event at noon, as the Lady Eagles play Owensboro Catholic. Coach Darren Rice's Central squad is in the 16th Sweet 16, despite beginning the season with a 4-10 record.
At that point, we figured the season was going to go one of two ways. Either they were going to quit and we were going to tank and it was going to be awful for the rest of the year, or we were going to fight back and keep working and believe that the end will be better than the beginning. And that's what the girls chose to do. They've been relentless.
10th Region winner George Rogers Clark is in the 8 p.m. matchup against Harlan County. Coach Robbie Graham's Lady Cardinals are one of the state's top scoring teams.
We have some really good shooters that
kind of open things up, and we have some girls that can attack the basket. So, you know, we don't have that one or two girl averaging, you know, 20 to 25. We have, you know, several girls that are averaging, you know, between 12, 13 to 8. You know, so we're very balanced scoring. It's hard to pick out, you know, which player you're going to stop.
16th region champion Boyd County has its first round game on Thursday at 6:30 against Webster County. Louisville has a first-round game tomorrow in the ACC tournament in Brooklyn. UofL plays Florida State at noon, while interim coach David Padgett believes his 19-12 Cardinals have already done enough to earn a spot in the NCAA tournament. He knows nothing is guaranteed.
We can't leave it up to chance. If we go up to New York and we can win a couple games, and all of a sudden, you know, you get to 20, 21 maybe wins, and all of a sudden it makes you look even better. So that's just what we have to do. We can't go up there and try to get knocked out in the first game and leave anything up to chance. We have to go up there and just battle and try to come out of there with a few wins.
Louisville and Florida State split their two regular season meetings, with each team winning on the other team's home floor. The SEC season awards were handed out today for the regular season. Kentucky freshman Kevin Knox won Freshman of the Year in the league, while also being named to the All-SEC First Team, with teammate Shea Gilgeous-Alexander earning second team honors. Tennessee dominated the other awards, with Rick Barnes winning Coach of the Year. Sophomore forward Grant Williams was named SEC Player of the Year, and sophomore guard Lamonte Turner was named the Co-SEC Sixth Man of the Year, alongside Missouri's Jontay Porter. A new report from Yahoo Sports has revealed new details in the FBI's investigation into college basketball recruiting that reveals former Kentucky player Bam Adebayo's encounter with a sports agent. A receipt shows Bam had dinner with Stephen Pina of ASM Sports at the Melting Pot, with a bill totaling a little over $107, which is well below the NCAA's payback threshold of $200, which allows a player to pay back the total without their eligibility being in question. Adebayo, though, denies the dinner occurred. Meanwhile, with multiple reports suggesting the NBA plans to change the so-called one-and-done rule to start to allow high school players to go straight to the NBA again, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr speaking out on the issue. Kerr says all players should be allowed to sign with agents and enter the NBA draft, and if they're not picked, have the option to return to school.
If we're truly trying to do the right thing for the kid declares for the draft and doesn't get drafted and realizes, you know what, I should go to college. Welcome him back. Do something good for the kids, and don't just kind of keep this ruse going. We all know what's going on, and let's do what's best for the kids and give them some options and work together between the NBA and the NCAA and find the right system. I think it's entirely doable if everybody just opens their eyes.
Most reports suggest the NBA will start putting more money into its G League teams and give high school players the option to go straight to the G League from high school, rather than spending one season in college. The Morehead State baseball team is in Louisville doing battle with the 10th-ranked Cardinals. Currently in the game, MSU trails 11-1 in the fifth inning. This is not the first time Coach Mike McGuire's Eagles have played on the Jim Patterson Field in Louisville, and he hopes it's not the last.
We've been there before for a regional. You know, I'd say at the end of the year, there's a good chance that they're hosting a regional, and you know, the way they send people close by, I hope we're playing in it.
MSU is back in action on Friday when they visit Southeast Missouri. Morehead State softball coach David Williams is happy with his team's early season performance. After winning all five games last weekend at the Winthrop Invitational, Williams' Eagles are off to a 13-4 start.
I think we've competed and won some games that maybe I thought we had a chance at splitting. You know, realistically, I think there's only about two games that I felt like the other team really, really beat us. There's two games I think we handed to somebody else. So, you know, 13-4 is great, but we realistically could be 15-2. But I think that's the expectation we're laying out for this team right now. You know, you expect to go out and win every ball game.
The Eagles are slated to host the Morehead State Classic this weekend. They'll face Kinesis, IUPUI, and Marshall. Finally in sports, some notes from the NFL. The Steelers officially placed the franchise tag on running back Le'Veon Bell for the second consecutive year. The tag for Bell is worth $14.5 million for the 2018 season. Bell told ESPN last season he would consider retiring if Pittsburgh placed the tag on him again. The Carolina Panthers agreed to a four-year, $17 million contract with place kicker Graham Gano, and running back Chris Ivory has agreed to terms with the Buffalo Bills on a two-year deal worth $6 million. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Season tickets are now available for Eagles softball and baseball. Softball hosts the Morehead State Classic this weekend, and baseball welcomes Jackson State March 13th and 14th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. stocks closed higher after a very tumultuous session when the averages had very large gains and large losses. But at the close, the Dow Industrials only showed a gain of 9.36, finishing at 24,884.12. The S&P 500 was stronger, finishing with a gain of 7.18 at 2728.12. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 41.3, finishing at 7372.01. Earlier, the Dow fell as much as 166 points, and at the very beginning, when markets started off strongly, the Dow did have an initial gain of 100 points. The major averages traded lower in the session as Bloomberg News actually reported that sources close to the president said that Trump was convinced that his main economic advisor, Cohn, would leave the administration if the tariffs proposed by the president were implemented. Later, stocks recovered in early afternoon trading after Senator David Perdue, a Trump ally, said the president was open to changes on tariffs. At the very beginning, markets actually rallied on news from overseas as North Korea said there was no need to keep its nuclear program as long as there was no military threat against it and the safety of the regime was secured. And this news certainly sent many markets overseas as well as our markets up when that was released. In corporate news, Nordstrom rejected an offer from the Nordstrom family to take the company private for $50 per share. The Nordstrom family has been working to take the company private since last year, and the stock finished with a gain of 1.8% today. And Harley-Davidson said retaliatory tariffs by other countries on its motorcycles would have a, quote, significant impact on the company's sales. The company made the statement after the European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker said last week that the European Union would impose tariffs on Harley motorbikes if Trump moved forward with his tariffs. And Harley-Davidson stock did fall 2% in today's trading. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.2% at $62.47. Gold was up 1.8% at $1,355 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks edged up with the Stock 600 index finishing with a gain of 0.8%. In Asia, stocks were strong with the Nikkei up 1.8% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 2.1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Intel and Caterpillar, while the worst performers were Johnson & Johnson and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Lam Research and Western Digital, and the worst performers were Newfield Exploration and Target. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up a penny at 72.18, CSX down 24 cents at 56.14, AEP down 97 cents at 65.51, AK Steel up 5 cents at 563, Community Trust Bank up 45 cents at 45, and Marathon Petroleum was up $1.24 to finish at 67.40. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the city of Moorhead, home to Moorhead State University, St. Clair Healthcare, Kentucky Folk Arts Center, and Moorhead Conference Center. The city of Moorhead supports efforts to encourage community livability, economic prosperity, and cultural outreach. Facebook and online at moorhead-ky.gov.
Taking a brief look at this week's weather forecast, tonight it'll be partly cloudy, turning to a mix of rain and snow, with a low of 34 degrees. Tomorrow morning it'll be cloudy, some morning snow showers, and a high of 42. Tomorrow night, the clouds will stick around, and some late flurries are possible, with a low of 26 degrees. Thursday morning, a mix of clouds and sun, and more clouds in the afternoon, with a high of 37. Thursday night, the clouds give way to clear skies, and a 0% chance of rain, and a low of 25 degrees. It is 60 degrees here in Moorhead.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, MSU choirs will host a chili cook-off dinner and concert at the Moorhead First Baptist Church tonight. Enter your chili prizes and receive a free ticket. All-you-can-eat dinner begins at 5:30 with the MSU Spring Choral Concert at 7:30. Tickets are $10 for adults, $8 for students, and free to children under 6. The Kentucky Center for Traditional Music will host a community square dance at the Rowland County Arts Center at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, March 14th. Admission is $3 and free to students. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Sean Delaney, Brian Courtney, Kinsey Thompson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Braxton Howard. K&N's Haley Hansen and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke chipped in. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Cody Robinson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.